an inferior complex, of a sense of unworthiness that dominates his life because of the fallen nature, because of the sin that is in him. So we were born in sin. David says so. He said, in sin did my mother, what? Conceive me. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, because of this sinfulness that we were born with, please, I want you to understand. Make effort to follow me. Because of this sinfulness that we are born with, because of our imperfect life that arises from this, we live in an unconscious awareness of imperfection. Because of our imperfection, and we know we are not perfect, because of the sinfulness that arises in our life, there is an unconscious mindset of imperfection that we carry about. That unconscious mindset of imperfection is really deep-rooted and produces spiritual inferiority, condemnation, and a real well-developed sense of unworthiness. We unconsciously carry it around, but that is real. It is the mindset that Adam had. It is the natural mindset of the natural man who knows he's not perfect. You know that guilty conscience naturally is uncomfortable before truth. Is that correct? Guilty conscience has no boldness at all. So it is a natural thing for a natural man to have a guilty conscience because his life is imperfect. So he goes around with this unconscious but deep-rooted reality of a guilty conscience arising from knowing I'm not perfect. Is anybody following me here? It arises from knowing that I am what? Not perfect. It grips a man, he doesn't even know it. And as long as a man lives with this, and it's a real thing, we're not perfect. So as long as we live with this sin consciousness of our imperfection, we cannot be bold in spiritual things. It's going to be difficult. When we are challenged to do the right things, it triggers an untoward reminder of our imperfection. If I challenge him to, hey, go home and do the right things here and here, which is correct, which should happen, but there is a parallel unconscious trigger in him that is not perfect, because that's why I'm telling him to do better. When we are brought to face our imperfection by corrections, by the laws of God, it triggers that unconscious mindset that reminds me, boy, I am not what? Perfect. Even though that's not the intended goal. The goal was to tell me to do better. But in telling me to do better, unconsciously, in the reverse, it's reminding me of my imperfection. That's why you're telling me to do better in the first place. So the Bible says that the law is an administration of death. Because that's exactly what it is. It reminds you of your imperfection. And because it reminds you of your imperfection, it doesn't build faith in you. It leaves you with that condemnation that we carry around. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:7. It calls it the ministration of death and calls it the ministration of condemnation, that it produces condemnation. But if the ministry of what? Death, written and engraved on stones. He's talking about the laws. He says the ministry of death. Apart from the fact that the law pronounces that the soul that sinned shall what? Die. It produces condemnation. Ministry of death. Go to verse 9. For if the ministry of what? Come on, talk to me. Ministry of what? That's what they call it. It's a ministry of death. It's a ministry of what? Condemnation. It's intended to help us live right. But inadvertently, or parallel to that, it produces condemnation. That's what the Holy Spirit says. That's why the Bible says there is no law that can give life, and the law makes nothing perfect. Doesn't make anything perfect. It leaves you with condemnation. Genesis 3:6 to 8. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were what? Opened. And they knew that they were, okay, the knowledge, this knowledge of imperfection is a knowledge that shows man that he's shame. Because guilt goes with shame. Naked and shame. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Now, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That's exactly what it does. The Bible calls this thing evil heart of what? Unbelief that makes you depart from God, run away from God. That's what it calls it. It says, this evil heart of unbelief must not be found in you, because it makes you run away from God, depart from God. Exactly like Adam and Eve. So before they sinned, they had fellowship. They didn't have this condemnation. They didn't have anything until this sin thing came and they became aware of their sinfulness. Immediately they became aware of their sinfulness. It produces condemnation. It produces a sense of unworthiness, produces a sense of inferiority. And here comes God, and they were running. Look at Isaiah. Listen, this is what people carry this. And look at Isaiah 6 verse 5. Isaiah saw God. Instead of being excited, see what he said. So I said, woe, what? Why is woe, Isaiah? For I am undone. Why? Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of... Did you see his mindset? Because God showed him a revelation. He said, man, I am not worthy to sit. And because of that, he said, I'm done. I'm going to pay a penalty for sin that... He said, because we are sinful people and I dwell in the midst of what? Sinful people. So I am not worthy to see the glory of God. Which means God, stay away from me. That's the mindset people carry around. Because of this consciousness of imperfection. He says, I am unworthy. The people I live among them, they are worthy. So why should I see the glory of God? Can you put it parallel to Adam and Eve? God showing up and they were running. Here Isaiah is a... not comfortable because God showed him something. If a Christian has this mindset, I want you to tell me how he will live in victory. Explain it to me. Tell me how that Christian will reflect the glory of God when he's running away from the one he saw. So how can he live it? Let's look at Peter, our brother. Bros Peter. Luke chapter 5, verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. This is after a big miracle. Huge miracle. Isaiah saw a huge miracle. Now Peter saw another miracle. So they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to what? So when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, do what? Come on, church. Do what? What did he say? Depart from me. Why? I'm a sinful man, O Lord. This is a disciple. He said, I don't really see the miracles. Please go. I'm a sinful man. I want you to explain to me how a Christian operating this mindset we have victory over sin, Satan, anything. His prayer answered when the presence of God makes him uncomfortable. And this is what majority of Christians operate. Explain it to me. How will he have confidence in his own prayer? And so the devil, finding very usefulness in this thing, accuses us relentlessly, trying to bring us to condemnation. So we can say to Jesus, do what? Depart from me. It undermines our faith so badly. And because when our faith is undermined, we cannot have victory. We can't. Because it's that faith that is your victory. So I want to play something. Can you play that thing? I want to show you proof positive that what I'm telling you is true. This is from a man who has been a Sunday school teacher. And can we hear it? I want you to hear him. That's a man who has been a Sunday school superintendent for many years, telling the pastor that God was not real to him. He said, I never told anybody this. He said, but I will tell you today that God has never been real to me. He said, all these things we are doing has never been real to me. He said, because I have this sin consciousness that has held me in what? In bondage. He said, every time they talk of sin, I say, that's me. Because imperfection is real. He said, I never even thought I would be anything. I will amount to anything. Did you hear that? He said, I've been a Bible teacher for years. He said, but I will tell you today that there hasn't been reality to all of this. That's where a lot of Christians operate. I keep saying it. I say, God is not real to many people. The Bible is not real to many people. You think I'm joking? I'm telling you the truth. If God is real to you, when they talk of things of God, you drop everything around. You wouldn't need Pastor Chinedu to tell you. I mean, if God is real to you, it takes precedence automatically. This is not going to come. You drop everything. You can't be. There's no competition. Oh, Jesus of Nazareth. There is no competition at all. If God is real to you. If the Bible is real to you, you honor it. You don't need anybody to beg you to read it. You would chew it. If church is real to you, if the body of Christ becomes real to you, you will love it. And you cannot speak against it. The man said, I've been a Sunday school teacher for years. He said, Pastor, let me now tell you for the first time that God has not been real to me. So all these things, there's no reality to it. I've been an educator, which means theologian. We're trying to solve a problem that plagued Christianity. many people can't even say it. But the truth is, God is not real to them. You know, a lot of things are under the carpet. Many questions are unanswered. That's why you have wheelbarrow Christianity. Wheelbarrow. You have to entice people with miracles to come. You say, come, 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 miracle. And yet, when they come for miracle, they still live, they don't know God. There has to be something enticing. Like you are giving children candy. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. He said, what held me in captivity was seeing what? Consciousness. He said, I never thought I would be anything in this life. He said, I thought it was after death. So I gave up because I don't merit anything. I'm unworthy. I know. He said, anything I talk of sin, he said, that's me. I saw my sin. He said, I suffered for it, paid the price for it, did all manner of things for it. And which means he didn't have victory over sin. He didn't. Many Christians still don't. I'm telling the truth now. Praise the Lord. So, you know, the only solution to removing guilt in the heart of a man is to remove the cause of the guilt. Is that correct? You are not talking. If you want to remove this unworthiness that Peter said, depart from me. Jesus, please, no, don't come. Isaiah said, I'm done. I'm undone. He said, I'm finished too. I am in trouble. Yet it was God that showed him the thing. But the man said, I'm in trouble. He said, woe is me. I'm under a curse. Woe. So my eyes have seen the king. He thought he would be dancing and giving glory. No. This thing I'm telling you people has gripped mankind from the fall of Adam till today. So if you want to solve this problem of this guilt and unworthiness that has paralyzed the faith of many people, you have to deal with the issue of sin. Because that's what causes what? Trouble. Chigozie, come. If Chigozie feels unworthy to come to me, there is something he... Come on now. There's something he did. Right? So every time I'm coming near him, he stops touching. The only way I can cure this thing is to go to that thing he did and resolve it. If I can resolve that thing he did and make him guiltless and convince him he's no more guilty, if I'm coming, what will he do? He will run towards me. Are you following me to this point? There is nothing he can do himself to erase what he has done. And so you and I, there's nothing we can do to erase that sin consciousness. Because we're imperfect. It's a daily thing. No matter how we want to talk about it, there is none as holy as God. And because of that, we are not, but we are sincere people, but there's a knowing in our heart that makes you feel unworthy because you know that you are not where you should be. That's what the man is talking. He said, the goal I set for myself, I never got there. So I felt so unworthy about it. And so, tell him what he can do to remove that sin consciousness. He has already done the thing. He was born in sin. All have what? Sin. And he has flesh that won't let him do what he wants to do. He has a bunch of problems there. Jeremiah 33. Stand where you are, because now you are Jeremiah. Jeremiah 13:23. We want to solve a major problem so that you can rise in faith and access all the power of God. Unless this is resolved, we are limited in accessing the glory that is ours. Totally limited. Because instead of embracing, we'll be running. Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian what? Change his skin. Is the question. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Huh? So Ethiopian, instead of being a black African, all of a sudden he's a Caucasian white man with white hair. You know, no matter how our women do their hair, they will never be white. All the money they spend on hair, staying 5 hours, some stay 7 hours. Some you take them there, or I take them there, whoever takes them there. You have to come many hours after. And if you are coming, you have to make sure they are finished, because sometimes their hair will never be white. It is African hair. Black as black. If you want it to change color, you go and buy wig. So, the question is, can the Ethiopian what? Can we answer it? God is saying you can't change your nature. The next question, or the leopard, his what? Spots. He said, then, may you also do good that are accustomed to doing it. Say, how can you? It's a serious question God is asking me and asking us. So God is saying you are incapable of resolving that sin problem. You don't have what it takes to do that. Because you are, by nature, you are accustomed to doing what? Evil. And then you say, okay, if Anya comes along, if Anya comes, if Anya come, if Anya comes and brings him 10 commandments. If Anya is a teacher of the law. So he gives him what? 10 commandments. The man takes it. Remember, ministration of what? Condemnation. So instead of helping him to come nearer me, he finds more of what he has. It drives him forever. Romans, if I stand there, don't go yet. You are now the teacher of the law, Nehemiah. Romans 3:20. You see what the Lord does to us. Romans 3:20. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Can we read it? Romans 3:20. Trying to solve a problem. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be what? So he gave him what cannot justify him. This thing will leave him guilty. Justify this to do away with your guilt. But this thing cannot remove that guilt. Is that correct? Come on now. Is that correct? So, our brother Nehemiah leaves him worse than he was. And then he says, for by the law is the knowledge of what? See, so this law teaches him more of his sin. he reads it. He finds more of it because the law shows him the ones he hasn't done well. And so the guilt increases. Is that correct? Come on, is that correct? Okay, thank you. Consider. So, Romans 9:31 showed us that Israel tried to use the law to remove guilt, but it didn't work. Romans 9:31. But the people of Israel who tried so hard to get right with God, they tried what? So hard to resolve this issue of unworthiness and things so that they can get right, so they can now come close and stand. By keeping the law, never succeeded. 32, why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of by trusting God himself to do it for them. They stumbled over the great rock. Thank you, you can see that. So that brings us to the theme of our Living Word Conference. In Christ what? Can we say that again? Can we say that again? The only place This man, come here. Come. This man, the only place, church, that guilt that is gnawing. Is that gnawing? What is gnawing? Chewing. That guilt that is chewing. That guilt that is in him. Because of the reality of the truth that is imperfect. That guilt that is gnawing and making him not have boldness before God. And not even have boldness before Satan. And not be in the place of dominion that God gave him. The only place that is resolved is when Dariah come. Now you are Christ. The only place that is resolved is when he comes to who? Jesus Christ. Ah, you are not excited. Thank you. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now. I didn't hear you. There is therefore now. The law is the minister of condemnation. But when you come to Christ now, there is therefore now no what? Condemnation. So our brother who was running away from me all of a sudden realized that there is no more guilt. There is no more condemnation. You know, if I'm passing, he will do what? He will ask me. Say, "Wow, sir, I've been looking for you." Say, "Yesterday, why didn't you look for me?" Because yesterday I didn't know. I found out now there's no condemnation. That thing I did is over. So I can come. Thank you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, people who understand and believe this thing that you all were singing here, "I've traded my shame for what? Traded my shame for what?" If you understand it, you don't need this teaching. You don't need it. No more shame. No more condemnation. If you understand it, you don't need what? This teaching. Aren't you singing it? "I've traded my shame." The shame of guilt is gone. The shame of guilt, what? Is gone in Christ alone. People who understand it are the people who rise up to where they should be. Boldness comes. Faith comes. Victory comes. They trample upon serpents and scorpions and over everything. They are the trailblazers. Because there's no more shame. There's boldness. And the righteous is as bold as a lion. They're the ones who believe that they're sons of God. They believe that they've been empowered. They are not running away like Peter. They are not saying, "Woe is me," like Isaiah. That saying, "I know in whom I believe. And it shall be even as he what? Told me." Romans 10:10. But those who don't even understand it, that's a lot of trouble. Romans 10:10. "Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have." Romans 10:10. "Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for people of Israel to be what? Saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. A lot of Christians carry enthusiasm that lacks knowledge." Enthusiasm without knowledge. I was going to use the restroom upstairs, and the Lord said to me, he said, "Have you seen people who are holy without love?" Say, holiness people without what? Love. It's worst of them. Say, holiness without love. It's not even the life of God. Enthusiasm. But they lack knowledge. Misdirected zeal. They lack knowledge. They lack knowledge. Misdirected zeal. Verse 3. What is the knowledge they lack? What is the problem? For they don't understand God's way of making people right, what? With himself. Refusing to accept that God's way. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. Now remember, that's the thing that brings condemnation, that they are trying to walk with. But God has given them another way, where there is no what? Come on, talk to me. Why there's no what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To remove that thing in the heart so that they can be bold, so they can have come with fullness of heart, fullness of faith, instead of evil heart of unbelief that will drive them away from God, to come now with fullness, full assurance of faith so that God can use them to do whatever God has planned to use them to do. They will not accept it. He said, these people are full of zeal, but they don't have knowledge. Can you put that in the New King James Version? Let's see. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own what? Have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now my question is, this thing they are trying to do, can it take away that guilt? Come on, answer me. Some people think it can. Can it take away that guilt? And if that guilt doesn't go, what happens to their faith? And while there's no faith, it's impossible. Please God. And yet they want to please God without faith. You see the Christian life we live? When your faith is compromised, your ability to please God is zero. Totally zero. Romans 5:16. You are excited, right? This guy is excited. He moved from one chair there, moved near. Romans 5:16. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to what? Come on, talk to me. Led to what? You remember what they were doing? They saw God and they ran. He said that sin leads people. It's the same. That consciousness of sin leads people to constant condemnation. He said Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Put New King James Version. So don't think I wrote it. I changed it myself. Just put me. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in what? Condemnation. But the free gift which came from many of the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in what? Justification. This one produces condemnation. But Christ, the free gift of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Christ produces justification, which means freedom, which means forgiveness. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah here. He said Christ came to remove that condemnation in the heart of the Christian that paralyzes him. Romans 5:17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over me. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over what? When you say that death is ruling, you are saying that sin is ruling. Because sin and death are brothers. Born of the same mother. So when you say death is ruling over people, you are saying that sin is also what? Ruling. Because when righteousness is ruling, life is ruling. So he says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. Which sin was ruling over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of what? Righteousness. For all who receive this gift, we live what? In triumph over sin and death through this one man who? In Christ alone. The Jews rejected this. And they said, no, we want to follow the law and be righteous. And God said, you can't now. It's through this one man, Christ. It's through this one man, Jesus. Come on, say it for me. It's through this one man, Jesus. Come on. Say it loud. I want to hear it. Say, it's through this one man, Jesus. I gave you a gift. I gave you justification. I said to you, I forgave your sins. So that guilt and condemnation that the sin of Adam brought to you will be resolved. And when it's resolved, you can now walk in faith. And when you walk in faith, you can overcome sin. You can overcome Satan. You begin to exercise your dominion that God called you into. You begin to exercise your dominion. You come to where God wants you to be. A man who is not exercising dominion is a religious human being. He's defeated, just wasting time. Because without faith, you can't. Let me tell you something. The Christian life is designed to be lived by faith. Any other thing is waste of time. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is what? It's sinful. God doesn't have anything to do with that. That's why people struggle with habits, struggle with this. And like that man said, it's not real to me because he's not seeing the reality of it. He's not seeing the result of it. He's not seeing the thing working in his life. He said, this God is not real to me. His word is not power. It's not an oracle of God. He can't rebuke sickness. He can't rebuke it. He can't. He's not showing the glory of Jesus that he should show. He's not receiving information from the Holy Spirit that sets him apart from every other person around him. He's not. He's not a conduit of flow of the power of Christ. He's not. Can't live in that place of dominion. It's not possible. Because that's where faith works. The place that God has called us to be, He wants us to be in the place where he gave us his authority that we can use in the name of Jesus Christ and get things done. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, those who deny this power don't have anything to do with them. Romans 5. Verse 18. I'm not done reading that place. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation to what? Everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one man disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many are made righteous. Are you following me? Am I communicating? Huh? You really encourage me. When you move from there to here, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So now the issue is, how do I see myself in Adam? Christ. In Adam. Or what? Christ. If I see myself in Adam, that guilt will remain. Because in Adam, all die. There's no life. It's about my imperfection. If I see myself in Adam, to see yourself is in Adam is to see yourself naturally by the way you act and the things you do. You're walking by your eyes. See yourself in Adam. But to see yourself in Christ is to see with the Spirit what? High. In the realm of the Spirit. And remember that the things we see are made by the things we don't see. You are looking at the realm that controls what you see. When you look into Christ, when you look at Christ, when you see the spiritual things, that's what that man was saying. He said, I didn't know that God did something in my life. He said, nobody told me. He said, I thought it was after death I'll be righteous. So this side of life, I'm an unrighteous human being. He said, I didn't know I would ever be righteous. He said, are you serious? You told me this and it's true. And he said, look at me. I didn't even know I've received the life of God. That I have the nature of God in me. He said, nobody told me that. I said, I thought it was after death. Brethren, it is right now. Somebody praise the Lord. It is what? Right now. It's not tomorrow. So look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. For Roman 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Can you put, is that New Living Translation? Sorry, 2 Corinthians 5:16. Let's start from 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from human. So you must stop evaluating yourself from human point of view. Because if you keep evaluating yourself from human point of view, what are you going to be seeing? What are you going to be seeing? Your imperfections. And they won't change. They're not going to change. They don't change because you see them. They don't change because you see them. In fact, if you look at them, you increase in them. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, if you look at them, you are going to increase in it. So, he says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. So, he continues in verse 18. 17. Did we read 17? This means now that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life, what? Has begun. Now, you see that man that replayed what he was saying. He said, I never knew that I had the nature of God. He said, nobody told me that I have eternal life. He said, nobody told me. Then the Bible says we are partakers of divine nature. He said, nobody told me. How can I have that nature and feel condemned? How can I? How can I? It is when a man is not honoring Christ in his life, he runs into trouble. If he finally comes to me as my brother, and he knows that I have a need of this, and he gives it to me, and I'm not honoring using it, and I'm not honoring it, I will live without it. And the benefit of it, I also live what? Without it. And the end of it is I'm not even honoring him. When God gave us the gift, he said, I've given you a gift. He said, I've given you a gift of righteousness. I've made you a new creature. I gave you eternal life. I gave you my nature. I gave you my spirit. And I disregard all of that. It doesn't mean anything to me. How am I honoring God? Convince me. Is he not saying to God, you don't know what you are doing. I don't need all of this stuff. I want to look down upon will not work for you. Is that correct? Won't work for you. Thank you. And I'm grappling with the life, grappling with life, wondering, why am I still doing this thing? You are still doing them. Because what God gave to you that resolves the thing, you dumped it what? Somewhere. Paul said, I've stopped looking at myself from the natural eye. Because that's the natural eye that Adam looked and saw he was naked. He said, I'm not using it again. I'm going to look at myself from the spiritual point of view, that the word of God is revealing to me that I'm a new creature, that all things have what? Passed away. I have the nature of God. I have the nature of God. I wake up, I give God praise. I say, Lord, I give you praise that I'm not what I used to be. You see, as you keep saying it, it keeps working. It's simple as that. You keep saying it, it keeps working. Because the more you say this thing, the more it's real to you. The more you say them, the more the Spirit of God is revealing the reality to you. Then the more it becomes real, the more God is real to you. How can God be real to you when you don't see what he's doing? Wondering where is God? You are praying prayer to a God you don't even know whether he's there or not. The writer of Ephesians said, this thing we are writing, we have touched it. We have seen it. We know it's a reality. It's not vague. He said, these things we have seen with our eyes. The things we have what? Touched and handled. It's real. It's real. God is real. The word of God is, we have touched it. We have handled it. We've seen this thing work. We know what we're talking about. It's not in the realm of imagination. To us, it's real. Brethren, you and I are partakers of divine nature. Let it be real to you that what Christ died to give you is yea and amen. It is not a religious story. It is a reality. If we don't honor it, it won't work for us. This nature won't work. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The Bible said the greater one lives in you. That he, that is what? So where is this intimidation coming from? I told Ugo, I said, you deal with the devil in such a way that when he sees you coming, he will tiptoe and run from your direction. Say, there's the greater one in you. You are carrying the glory of the living God. The same spirit that was in Jesus Christ is very much active in you. You are not a regular, ordinary person. It's not after death. It is right now. As a man thinketh, so you will be. These are the things that prepare you to a place of glory. Look, this thing they call sin. Do you know, when you really know Jesus, sin becomes really dirty. The eyes with which you see it is the eye with which God sees it. You don't need any person pushing you around. It becomes real gutter for you. Real gutter. Because your nature is uncomfortable there. You have a new nature. You don't need 10 commandments. You are just a new person. You step in there, you feel so uncomfortable. I read about a man. People who know these things. Sunday we're going to talk about people who really practice these things. I'll show you in the Bible. And I'll teach you what the mind of Christ is, which we shall operate. A man just walked into a house, walked into a building. And he said, no, I feel uncomfortable here. He left. It was a brother. He didn't even know. He walked into a building, just walking into it. He said, this place feels strange. He said, I don't belong here. And he left. It was a brother. And he went mistakenly. But he has the nature of God in him. He has the nature. The divine nature was active because his faith was active because he believed it. Is it not when you believe it works? If you don't believe in salvation, how do you get it? If you believe that this life is in you, that's when it works for you. If If you believe you are healed, you are healed. If you believe you have this nature that God gave you, this new nature, this new life, how can you be having that condemnation in you anymore? It's faithlessness that drives us to religion, which is powerless and punishes you. Religion will punish you and punish you, and you get nothing. But faith will flourish and flourish and see the glory of God. In Christ alone, Jews full of zeal, they said, well, God, with the law will make us righteous. No, it could. It brings condemnation. That condemnation will be there. Can't take it away. And as long as it's there, your faith is prokatam, is afan. That won't be good. It won't go. What's afan? Your faith is, what's afan? It's ordinary bomo. Your faith will be what? No, it's not bomo. Roundabout. That's roundabout. Hey, man, I mentioned roundabout and my tongue began to feel somehow. Hey, I miss Lagos now. Yeah, roundabout. You know, tell madam, that's one. Put that one. Put that one. Pomoya, put that one. That's better for me than this list. This thing they give us. Pepper they give us. I don't like pepper. I like seeing the stew with my eyes. Seeing is believing. Madam, put that one for me. Put the other one. Yeah, the other one. Yeah, remove that one. Put this one. Are you following what I'm saying? The church should be taught the truth. What we're dealing with is that Adamic mindset. That guilt that the devil is hammering all the time. If he's not making profit about it, why is he accusing us? It's because there's a benefit to it for him now. You think he's a fool? He wants to perpetuate you in condemnation so that everything you are doing is just roundabout faith, nothing. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new creation. You have the nature of God. You have the life of Jesus. The Bible says that life was in Christ. The life of God is in me. So why should I feel condemned when I'm coming to God? Why should, tell me why, Pastor, I should feel condemned. The Bible says, come boldly, come charging. Come on, go home, come to your father. You have his nature, now your papa bore you. You know why I love praying? Because I know God is listening to me. I don't pray because it's religious affair. I know he's listening, and I know I have access to that. And no devil in hell will convince me. Because God was the one that made that route for me. He said, I created a route for you to come through faith in my son. That's what you were singing. I've traded my shame. For what? Joy of the Lord! There's no more shame. If you don't have shame, why shouldn't you go to God boldly? If you really know what you are singing. And I know, God bless you. In fact, the three songs I know sang in a row, they were talking about the same thing. I sat there, I said, this man, one day I'm going to be youth pastor. And music flows through him. Have you noticed? It flows through him. I'm telling you, this real. If I have a daughter, I will give you to marry. I don't have. I can borrow one.
Somebody praise the Lord!
Yes! Return to a place of dominance. Man, I can't understand this. Return to a place of dominance. And God looks at you, he says, wow, all my investment is yielding. All I died for on the cross is working. Yeah, he's producing for me. He's bearing fruit for me. He believes in what I've done. That's my son. And the other religious person is saying, I am a worthy servant. And God is saying, who is that? If you look at yourself in Adam, condemnation, judgment will be there. There's nothing you can do about it. But if you see yourself in Christ, you see the new creature. You see the righteousness God gave you. You see the power of the blood over your life. And boldness what? Comes. That's why faith comes to Christ. He is the author and what? Finish of it. So when you see yourself in him, that your faith rises. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, I listened to your teaching on Thursday. He said, man, he said, I couldn't sleep. He said, I was meditating on that teaching alone. He said, you know, after that, I had headache. And I rose up and said, he said, all I said is, don't belong here. The thing left. He said, I realize now I have access, freedom. All I said, you don't belong here. He said, the thing left. You know what has happened? He's in his seated place of honor that Jesus put him there. Seated together with him in heavenly world, place, exercising dominion. Here they come, they say, you don't belong here. Out. He said, the thing just, he said, that, just like that. That's how you bring glory to Christ. When you talk, the Spirit gives you what to say in that hour. You won't be talking anyhow in your office. When you talk, you find the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It gives you what to say in that hour. And people will be coming after you. Because what you say is so different. Every time you say something, it is what? So different. Because the Spirit is max. It's working max. Max. Philippians 3:7. I don't know when to stop. My wife. Huh? All right. If I just say take an hour. Hey, honey. I don't. Sorry. What time am I supposed to? 7, right? Huh? Oh. Philippians 3:7. But are you getting anything at all? Are you glad you came? You can now move from there to the front seat. he went from there. He came nearer. The thing he did, he came nearer. Philippians 3:7. Said, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And 9, in and be found where? Church. And be found where? I didn't hear you. And be found where? It was a choice he made. Said, I want to be found in Christ. That's where I belong. That's why I see myself. That in Christ, I'm a new creature. If any man is in Christ, he said, what? Say, I want to be found in. I want to find what God has made me in him alone. I want to be found in him. It's a choice he made. Because he could be found outside, in Adam. He said, all these things I was doing before, I thought they were useful. He said, they're useless. All this law, said, concerning the law, very zealous. He said, I found now that that is not the way to succeed in this thing. And be found in him, not having my own. Why? Because my own righteousness will make me retain that Adamic mind state of condemnation, because I'm imperfect. My own righteousness will never meet the standard that will cure that thing. But there's another righteousness that is perfect, which God has given me as a gift. And he says, not having my own, I don't even know why. Okay, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Let the church say amen. Amen. So let's look at why there is really no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's, number one is because of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I read a lot of reasons here, but let's take a few of them and talk about them. the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things, what? To come. And not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually made the commerce thereunto what? Perfect. Can never solve that problem. Can make you perfect so that this consciousness of sin goes. It's the can never, impossible. With all those sacrifices, and then add to that any other sacrifices that they are doing in 2017. All those sacrifices, all of them, can never make you perfect. It can't, it's okay. It can't bring you to a point where you are so perfect that the issue of sin consciousness goes. It's not going to happen. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, impossible, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the commerce thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of what? Sin. He said, you can't stop that thing. They'll be having that conscience of sin. He said, this law and all this thing that they cannot. He said, if it's possible, then they would have done it once. Then the worshippers will no more have this consciousness of sin they were talking about that makes a man feel unworthy. Romans 10:3. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away. It's not possible. No other sacrifice will stop this sin consciousness in a human being that is perfect to wash away. No, if you like, fast 100 days for your sin, it will go nowhere. No sacrifice, nothing can bring a man, can deal with this sin consciousness in a man. Not one. Nothing. And we sing it. Walk and wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood. Romans 10, we go to verse 18. Now, where remission of these is now, there is no more offering for what? 19. Having therefore brethren, what? I didn't hear you. Boldness. What gave you the boldness? Because your sin has been remitted by the blood of Jesus. The only blood that can wash it. It's what produces boldness. He says, having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by, come on church, by, can we know how to honor this blood? By entering boldly, knowing that this blood washes away my sins. By a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near. With what? With what? In full what? having our hearts sprinkled from, come on, talk to me, church. Evil conscience. What is the evil conscience? The evil conscience that sin consciousness produces. The Bible calls it evil because it doesn't honor the blood of Jesus. It's evil. It's a conscience of doubt. It's a conscience produced by doubt and unbelief and rejection of the sacrifice of the cross. The Holy Spirit said, that's evil. Do you know why Israel could not enjoy the blessings of God? Because they refused to believe God. The Bible said, because they could not mix it with faith, he said they could not believe. He said, I'm warning the church now too, that the same thing, if you don't believe these things, you will not enter into the same places. Praise the Lord. Are you tired? If you are tired, I can stop. I have a lot. Maybe tomorrow we can continue. Okay, let me give you some more and then we'll stop. And it says, the second thing, why there's no condemnation in Christ, we said about the blood, is because your sinful nature has been cut off. Your sinful nature has what? Been cut away. The Wahala is gone. Remember, now, Paul said, I want to be seen in Christ. So when you see yourself in Christ, you see that this nature has been cut away. It has been cut away. It's no more part of you. Colossians 2:11. When you came to Christ, you were what? Circumcised. When you came to Christ, you were what? What is to be circumcised? Something is cut off. What was cut off? But not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual. That's why you don't look at yourself after the outward man. You have to train yourself to use your spiritual eye, the spiritual eye of understanding. He said Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, cutting away of your sinful nature. Is that a reality or not? Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. That's a reality. I read of a young man in New York here, across the Hudson, who was struggling with sexual immorality, masturbation. In fact, he had all manner of sexual things going for him. And then he wanted to stop. He didn't worry. He was a Christian. So he was struggling, praying, doing everything, and was pornography also. And he wasn't going anywhere. And so he started practicing yoga, meditation. He wasn't going anywhere. And this boy was known for discipline. He was a member of this, all these, martial arts, something, what do you call it? All this karate in New York. I'm telling you a real story. He was known as a very disciplined boy. But those things would overtake him. And he would cry and cry. Until one day he heard somebody preaching on television. See what Jesus said? You shall know the truth. And the truth will what? He heard somebody preaching on television and said, your sinful nature has been what? Cut off. You are not that thing you think you are. Immediately he heard it. Like a flash. He had an understanding. Wait a minute. So I am not really this. He began to thank God. I'm not that. I am what? Not that. Come on now. I am what? Not that. I am what? Not that. This thing has been what? Cut off from my life. And he never had desire from that point on. Not more. No was desire. Because God will never tell a lie. It's impossible for God to lie. If God said I cut off this thing, he did it. It's impossible for God to lie. this word is yea and amen. If this word is not true, why are we in church? We should go home. The problem is, we don't believe it, don't care about it, we don't know it. We want to do like Pharisees through the law. Through the law. Okay, for perfection, through the law. Through the law. But it is in Christ alone. It is in Christ alone. Come on, it is in Christ. For if the Son shall set you free, you're free. I had another pastor who came to our church, then in Lagos. He was telling us how he was struggling with masturbation and all these things. And the thing was really eating into his life. And then one time he heard somebody say that he knew Christ has set us free from the powers of darkness and all these things. He said like it was like something opened up to him. And he said, so I'm free from this thing. And he said, the desire died. We are not supposed to be character managing. These things are supposed to die. That's what the Bible says. Put to death. Let it what? Die. Shouldn't survive. Shouldn't survive. It shouldn't even be a temptation no more. Paul said, I'm dead to the world. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm dead to the world. The world is dead to me at the cross. That's why we parted ways. He said, the world doesn't appeal to me, and I don't appeal to them. Everyone, go your way. Are you following me? Huh? That's why the scripture says, what the law could not do, God sent his Son to do. The law couldn't do that. Because of the weakness of the flesh, the Son of God came and did it with a procedure, not by physical hand, but by the hand of Jesus. He cut off our sinful nature. Can somebody shout hallelujah? He cut off what? But now remember, you say, but pastor, if he did that, why am I still here? Stop seeing yourself in Adam. You don't believe and honor what God did. How can it work for you? How can it work for you? You don't. You think you have the power to do that? You think you are going to obey God and do that? Keep doing it. And before, go ahead. The obedience to God is to obey his word. If God says, I've cut this thing off, you say, yes, Lord. Then the Spirit of God comes in. Because it is by the power of the Spirit you put to death all those things. The Spirit of God comes in and begin to manifest that word. That was why when that boy had it and the thing opened up and he embraced it, the thing died. It was an act of the Holy Spirit. The power of God killed him immediately. Somebody shout hallelujah. Is it not the same Spirit of God that gives us healing? Huh? Who among us will say, let me go heal myself? Answer me. Is it not the same Spirit of God that does miracle? Why don't you go do miracle yourself? So how come when it comes to your life, living your life daily, you exclude the same Spirit? And Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. I'm tempted to mention the mindset of Christ, but I think I'll keep it for tomorrow. Let me mention it, then close with that. Philippians 2:5. It's telling us the kind of mindset that we should have as Christians. The kind of mindset that we should have as Christians. The kind of mindset that we should have as what? Christians. So let this mindset be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Not the one that was in Adam. The one that was in Adam was sin conscious, was condemned, was unworthy. But the one that is in Christ is totally different. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery thought it what? Not robbery, to be equal God. You see this translation of King James Version. Many of these other translators don't have revelation about it. So they couldn't wrap their mind around it. So they gave a wrong translation. The word robbery was used. He says he didn't count it what? Robbery. What is he talking about? He's talking about that Jesus had boldness about the things that God has made him. He didn't consider, he's not tiptoeing to be in the place God has put him. It's not robbery to him. He's not robbing something that doesn't belong to him. This is not considered robbery at all to be equal with God. I was saying it all over the place. I and my Father are one. He said, I'm the light of the world. In fact, when they were judging him, instead of their judgment, he told them, he said, you are going to see the Son of God come with what? Glory. He was telling them who he was. It wasn't robbery for him. He wasn't doubting whether it's true or not. He exercised the authority that he knew he had. He said, my Father gave me authority here on earth. And my Father gave me authority to judge. He says, let me show you people that my Father has given me authority to forgive sins here. He said, hey, rise up and take your mat and what? Walk. It wasn't robbery. He wasn't taking his robbery to do stuff like that. He knew it was what his Father has given him. He didn't consider it robbery. And when storm arose, he rose up and said, peace what? Be still. He was living in the domain his Father gave him. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. And he said to you, Chikozie, and you, I have lifted you to sit with me at the same domain and do exactly what I was doing. But you have to have my mindset. You have to have this mind I had that it's not robbery. Don't tiptoe and say, maybe we got. No. Boldly come and do that. It's not robbery. You are not stealing. It belongs to you. That's what the meaning of the word robbery. Because it belongs to him. So he said, I've given you the same thing now. But the child thinks it's robbery. Because of sin consciousness. So, we tiptoe. I say, and when God looks up to you, you hide. Isaiah said, whoa, it's on me. Isaiah, what sin did you commit? He said, my eyes have seen the Lord. He said, I'm undone. Why are you undone? Ah, he said, I'm a sinful man. I live in the midst of sinful people. The Christian comes along in 2017, and God says, ask, and you shall what? Shall be given you. He said, hey, me, ask. Do you have Pastor Emmanuel's number? Because he's the one that will. Why am I considering it robbery? I don't have the mind that was in Christ. I have the mind that was in Adam. The sin consciousness, all these things that God paid the price to take away sin from your heart, take away sin from your life, give you righteousness, change your nature to be like him. It doesn't mean anything to you. That's why you're thinking like yourself as in Adam. How can two Christians with the same covenant, one says to the other, if you stay around me, you will never have diabetes as long as you stay with me. They stayed 3 weeks. How many weeks? Talk to me. How many weeks? And the man was eating burger he hasn't eaten for 20 years. Eating bread and said, wow, this thing tastes good now. I said, eat anything. He said, as long as you're with me, you taste sugar. And brethren, he didn't even pray for him. I'm not telling this, not made up story. It's a real story. Is anybody here who has had the same story? You heard it. He didn't pray for him. He said, as long as you're around me. Brethren, we have no idea what God has called us to be. It's a disaster. We saw Jesus talking to storm. He said, I've lifted you to the same place of glory where I am. You're seated with me. So you too can do the works I have done here.
3 weeks.
This man was eating anything. Three solid weeks. It's not if it's 2 days, you say maybe 3 weeks. They'll go to the restaurant and say, order anything you want. As long as you hang around, you won't have diabetes. And then later on, he was explaining it. He said, there's no magic in it. He said, the Bible says, if you shall speak to the mountain and believe that what you say shall come to pass, he said, you have it. He said, that's all I did. I declare what will happen, and it was happening. Because God gave us dominion to control environment, control everything. Because we reign here on earth. But we have to have that gift of righteousness takes away this guilt that will stop you from reigning. See, the other brother was operating the mind of Adam. This one was operating the mind of Christ. He didn't think it was robbery to say things and expect it to work, because God has said so. The other one didn't know it and was enjoying it. And when he left, 10 days after he left, diabetes came back. It took him some time before he realized, I can do the same thing that brother did. Diabetes stopped. But then he has spent 30 years giving himself insulin. The thing stopped. He would have done the same thing that time. But when he thought healing was robbery, Jesus said, no, it's children's bread. So we pray, but we don't really expect it to work, because we think it's robbery. We think God talking to you is robbery. It's something special for some special people. It's only pastor. Why are the gifts of the Spirit, pastor? That Paul wrote to the church, he said, you come behind the nothing, even the gift of the Spirit. It's all over the place. When you people come in your spirit, your service, somebody has a message, somebody has a message, somebody, he said, hey, all of you can even prophesy. He said, please do it in order. One after, where is it? We are waiting for when somebody comes from Lagos, some of them fake. What is it? What is the glory of Jesus that the church should reflect? What is it? Talk to me. Paul said, if somebody comes among you and the secrets of his heart is revealed, will he not say that God is what? In your midst. Where is it? Church, go ahead. See what I'm saying? Something is paralyzing the faith of the Christian and stopping him from moving where he should be, so that Christ will be glorified through him. Be thou exalted, O Lord, above all heavens. Be thou exalted, O Lord, above all heavens.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.